Hi, good vach. This is Yisachar Wartell, and we are now up to Parshat Vayera, not to be confused with Parshat Vayera, which is after Shemot. And one way to be able to tell the difference is that Vayera in Parshat Shemot has the Vav and the Aleph, which is where it introduces the first seven of the plagues. So that's a mnemonic, and then the other one is Vayera, which is where we are now. There's a lot of interesting explanations as to both what Netziv and Omed mean. We see the word Netziv in this week's Parsha by a pillar. This is actually something that's part of a much, much longer work in progress that I'm working with my friend Yitzhak Ka'oki on. He is a very good establishment of this. But they both seem to mean stand, and they both seem to sort of mean pillar. Netziv, so Nun, Sadi, Bet, and Omed, Aleph, Mem, Dalet. In fact, Omed is also used numerous times in this week's Parsha. So they're both used in very similar context, but they have different functions. So a Netziv is functionally a monument more than it is a pillar. It's not truly a pillar or a concept that supports something, but rather it's something that stands out to remind others of its symbolism. In contrast, an amud is something that offers continue and ongoing support. It continuously holds something up. Principles, the principles that we have are amudim. The cloud of the divine presence, cloud of glory in the midbar, the Shechina in the midbar that protected us, Arnei Kavod. We're known as Amud Anan, because it was the ongoing presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our midst and a reminder of his constant protection and support. And similarly, our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, are often referred to as the Amudim, the pillars of Judaism, because of their teaching, their legacy, and imbued characteristics define who we are as a nation. Contrast this to when Lot's wife became a shaker of salt, that was a Netziv, it was an ongoing reminder. So that brings me to part of an amazing Dvar Torah that I came across by Rabbi Eitan Feiner, who I've had the pleasure of meeting, and I listen to him through any time. I know sometimes he talks incredibly fast, but he is remarkably brilliant and has a lot of amazing things to say. So this was on Kirov.com, and it's part of a message called The Inner Message of Salt. And these are his words. Unfortunately, one of Abraham's relatives was unable to abandon a life of no upward spiritual growth, and it cost her dearly. Sodom was deserving of complete destruction because of the depraved and utterly corrupt lifestyles of its inhabitants. There was no hope for a possible turnaround since the people of Sodom had no interest whatsoever in altering the status quo. In the merit of their righteous relative, however, Lot and his family are miraculously saved before the city crumbles in engulfing flame. But Lot's wife errs egregiously. She cannot simply restrain herself and glances back upon the city against the explicit command of her saviors, the Malachim. Her punishment, she is transformed into a pillar of salt. So why specifically salt, and why a pillar and not maybe a salt shaker or something else? These questions are asked by Rabbi Moshe Eisenman of Yeshiva Ner Yisrael, and he attempts to resolve it. Salt is a preservative administered into food to preserve freshness while simultaneously preventing bacteria and the like from entering. In other words, salt serves to maintain the status quo of the food. A pillar symbolizes, in this case, a netziv, symbolizes a stagnant lifestyle, the desire to remain permanently idle, again echoing the same idea of preserving the status quo. Lot's wife could not tear herself away from the abhorrent lifestyle of Sodom, a lifestyle with no spiritual demands whatsoever, no incentives for even a smidgen of spiritual growth, with a lifestyle that had caught her irrevocably in its strangling snare. Even with her life now on the line, she was simply unable to separate herself from her past. What more befitting of a punishment, therefore, than being transformed into a motionless pillar and netziv, specifically one consisting totally of salt, a dumbbell emphasis of her desire to preserve things just the way they were. The completely destroyed city of Sodom itself, we might add, would forever be replaced by abundant salt, serving perhaps as an apt reminder of the very essence of what the corrupt city was all about. And just as its inhabitants were never interested in growing, the ground of their now infertile city would never again be capable of growth. Wow, that's pretty amazing. And he has another piece, too. One more piece. We have thus observed that among the myriad sins of the inhabitants of Sodom, of which Lot's wife and family were a part, was their nitzavim way of life, staying stagnant. The Malachim, God's heavenly angels, seem to epitomize this very idea. The celestial angels are actually sometimes described as both nitzavim and omdim. So they stand forever still, but they're also pillars, they're a fixture. because they can never really change nor grow. They can never alter their status quo in any sense. There is no room for either upward or downward movement. They are what they are. No waxing and waning on the spiritual seesaw of life. Angels have no ability to exercise free will. They are effectively or merely robots in the service of carrying out Hashem's will. How interesting, then, that the Hebrew word for salt, melach, is, even though it's spelled differently, you know, one's with a chet, one's with a chaf, but sound-wise, there and Rav Hirsch gets into this, is the Hebrew word for angel, malach. I'm inserting a few words into his words. They sound very similar. They seem to share an essential aspect of their respective natures, the notion that the status quo can be preserved. The angels are thus described as possessing a single straight leg, the raglehem regel yeshara, and their legs are one straight leg, as it says in Yechezkel. They do not move with their legs as mortal men. They are rather classified as nitzavim, right, which is how we position ourselves in the Shemoneh Esrei, standing. While the righteous are often referred to as holchim, those who are going, always on the move, moving forward, and always progressing onward towards perfection. So I added a few words here and there, but those are essentially Rabbi Eitan Feiner's words. Now, at the beginning of this week's Parsha, so we have another interesting thing here. Avram is visited by the three Malachim, the three angels disguised as men, and they are described upon as Nitzavim Alav. They are standing upon him or before him. They appear to be travelers, but their only purpose was to meet Avram and to foretell and act upon the events really to ensue. They stood there waiting for him. That was their only purpose. They had one purpose, right? It was that and nothing else. They did not have a continuous legacy. They did not have a dynamic legacy. They did not have one that would lead to descendants that would change and grow and develop and flourish like Avram did. Avram, who as described upon the exiting of the angels, was omed with Nei Hashem, standing before Hashem, but standing in a way that was not completely fixed. Avram had a job to do and a legacy to create. He, with Sarai Menu, was about to give birth to Yitzchak, who would perpetuate this legacy and continue to add to the pillars, the omdim, the actual pillars, right, the ones that support but are not necessarily stagnant, upon which the Jewish nation is founded. There's other numerous areas of interest. Obviously, we already spoke about the pillar of salt, but the next pasuk right after that reads, "Vayashkam Abraham baboker el makom asher amad sham et pnei Hashem," and Abraham arose in the morning to the place where he had stood before Hashem. And then it notices that Abraham saw the amud, right? He saw this. Well, first of all, it says asher amad sham et pnei Hashem, where Abraham had stood. Right, but now he's moving, right? So he's still a pillar in the sense that he's one of the avos, he's still very important, but he's moving around. But also, then he also sees this, it might be called the Timrot Hashem, but effectively that's almost like a pillar in of itself, that there's a standing remnant, right, this smoke column that's going up from Sodom that has with it both the stagnancy, whatever the noun is, from Sodom, but Hashem is saying that he doesn't want that. So presumably, unlike the smoke column, like by the Beit HaMikdash, which just went straight up in a smoke column, this column presumably eventually was into the wind and started scattering because Hashem wants things to grow. He doesn't want things to be stagnant, status quo. He doesn't want things to be like that. Lot was a little bit dynamic, but for the most part, he was stagnant. Avram was not stagnant. And therefore, Lot didn't become a pillar in terms of future nations and Jewish people and things like that. He wasn't as important. Whereas Abraham, specifically because he moved, because he grew, and he influenced, that's what made him a true Amud. Lot was to some extent a Netziv. His wife was truly a Netziv. But Lot was to some extent a Netziv. He may have had a little stickle of Amdus in him. But effectively, Abraham was an Amud. He was a pillar in the sense that he was supporting, but he wasn't stagnant. And this was something that he could branch out to support even those who seemed very, very far away. He opened his tents, all four sides, to anybody who would come with him. And he didn't care who they were. Even if they were people from Sodom, he pleaded on behalf of the people of Sodom. He didn't care. Abraham wanted to make sure there was always an opportunity for growth and dynamic. And who knows, maybe if there were people from Sodom and they moved and became in motion and not stagnant, then maybe they could change and become other people. But unfortunately, that didn't work out, and we have the lesson. The whole city was destroyed. Ultimately, Lot presumably didn't learn his lesson. We don't really know exactly what happened to him later, but ultimately, Avram did continue imbuing lessons throughout the generations and in the Torah to continuously strive and develop, help others, and to help others to grow as well. Wishing you all Shabbat Shalom.